Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Now, let's talk to Signe, I've been practicing this since the early hours. Signe Johansen, welcome.
Good morning.
Norwegian-born but London-based, and you're here to make triple cherry glögg. Which sounds incredibly inviting. What is that, very briefly?
So, in brief, it's akin to German Glühwein.
Right.
And it's a wine base, so we've used some Beaujolais Village, some Beaujolais Nouveau.
Yeah.
Which is a very young, fresh, fruity wine.
Yeah.
And then I love cherries. My grandparents had a farm on the west coast of Norway, and cherries were always my favourite as a child. Yeah. We had sour cherries and black cherries, and I used to eat myself silly on them. And so this is just an interpretation, I guess, of glögg. You can have all kinds of different alcohols, different flavours, but I love cherries, so I've used some cherry brandy.
Cherry B used to be my favourite teenage tipple.
I mean, really?
Not teenage, I mean, when it was legal, that was my drink.
Oh, it's so delicious. It
very
has a real depth of flavour to it. And then we've also got some cherry juice, a cherry cordial.
Right.
And then we have some dried cherries, which have been simmering in the glögg. So they've absorbed a lot of the flavour from the glögg and the spices and the fruit.
The exact proportions and the recipe, of course, are on the website, bbc.co.uk/radio4/womanshour. This is a seasonal drink, isn't it? I mean, presumably you'd have it, with snacks? But not with a meal, but before a meal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, across Europe you have Vin Chaud, you've got Glühwein, you've got mulled wine here in the UK, hot spiced port in Ireland. And it's something you would have to obviously warm the cockles on a cold winter's day. You can have it with food, obviously. You can have it with some shortbread, some biscuits, some buns, cinnamon buns, for example. Or you can just have it on its own with a salty snack, some salted almonds. So it's really versatile.
But have you got something you've prepared earlier that I could have a taste of?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that marvellous?
Let me pour you a cup right
almost
now.
Almost like we've rehearsed. A cup? No,
just a tiny
smidgen will be absolutely. Thank you very much. I think that's lovely. Thank you. Now, Hygge is, how do I pronounce that properly? Hygge.
Hygge.
Yeah. So this is this Scandinavian concept, which it's not actually Norwegian, is it? Where does it come from?
It's actually Old Norse, from the word hygge, which is a word that's still used on the west coast of Norway, where my family from.
And that is genuinely lovely.
Oh, thank you. I like it.
Yeah.
And the original meaning of hygge was to be or to think. And that's something that's really been missed in a lot of the press about hygge of late, which has been introduced as a sort of Danish lifestyle concept. And in fact, it's actually a much more deeply rooted cultural tradition across, particularly across Norway, but also in Denmark.
You're sounding rather territorial about that.
Oh, very much so.
Norwegians got there first.
We got there first. You know, we're very chauvinistic about these things.
Yes, the Danes do seem to have stolen a march on you slightly.
Oh, they've been very canny in promoting it.
Yes.
Full credit to the Danes.
And what about the Swedes? What role do they play?
The feeling of kind of warmth and coziness and stepping back from the sort of stresses of everyday life, that's something you find across Scandinavia, across the Nordic region. Mm. In Sweden, you have something called musik, or mus, which is a similar idea, this idea of, savouring the simple pleasures in life. And
yes.
Again, it goes back to this, I hate to use the word mindful, but it's this idea of sort of stepping back and reflecting on the world and reflecting on living.
I mean, in Britain, it seems to have been sold to us as a way of flogging throws and candles.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, but you're a bit anti all that, aren't you?
Oh, no, gosh, I love all those things. I'm not
we like them, but it's
like
not, it's
them,
not
but
the true spirit of the original concept.
Exactly. It's really reductive, and the idea that it's being used to sell a lifestyle, that you have to have cozy blankets and a fire and candles and cake, you know, those are all lovely things, but to sort of surrender to winter and live in this state of cozy hibernation, no. That is not, definitely not what hygge is about. Certainly not in my family.
Well, okay, in your family it's about what? Getting out there and being at one with nature?
Very much so. Right. I mean, the kind of tradition of friluftsliv, which is this kind of savouring the outdoors, being out in
what
nature.
What was that called?
Friluftsliv, which is
that would be slightly harder to tell.
it's a Norwegian idea, and we're very outdoorsy people. We're very much, nature is very much part of our identity, about who we are, how we see the world. It's very important to us. If you've been to Scandinavia, you know that it's not very densely populated, so nature is a big part of how we see the world. And it's really important to feel active and to be outside, especially this time of year. I think it's really important to our mental well-being as well as our physical well-being.
Now, people, I think it is reasonable to say Scandinavia is not that ethnically diverse, is it? But it's becoming slightly more diverse. What about people moving to Scandinavia? Are they able to adopt these concepts and perhaps take the bits that they like and just adapt it all slightly?
I think so. I mean, my background's in anthropology, so I have a particular interest in you know, how humans operate and how societies work. And my mother, of course, is English-American, so she spent 15 years living in Norway. And yeah, you do have to you have to adapt it according to your cultural traditions and your background. And some people have said that, you know, because Scandinavia is very ethnically homogenous, you know, there's no way that Hygge would survive in a culturally homogenous society, which is nonsense.
You don't buy that.
No, absolutely not. And I think London is a very good example of how you can create new traditions, new, you know, that people adapt. You know, that's human nature, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what did your mum find most bizarre about Norway when she first moved there, do you know?
She found the lack of, not manners, that's not the right word. She found the lack of nicety is quite hard to grasp. So she thought everyone was very rude.
What, because they're just more direct?
Very direct. We're very, very blunt speaking, very open and honest, and no sense of shame or guilt about saying what's on our minds, which can be quite terrifying, I think, to outsiders.
Yes, I imagine it probably is.
Yeah.
And so your poor mother was probably confronted with all manner of directness that she didn't want to tackle.
Definitely. Although my parents lived in Germany for 10 years, so she was kind of used to that anyway. There's a Germanic Nordic tradition, I think, of just saying what's on your mind.
Yes, okay.
And fearing the consequences.
Really not fearing the consequences.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, actually, I'm going to have just another sip of this. It really is really, really nice. And there are presumably variants on this. You can have other sorts of fruit, can you?
Yeah. Definitely. You could do raspberry cordial. We have obviously a tradition of making fruit cordials in Scandinavia. And you could use raspberry, blueberry, blackcurrant, rosehip. You know, lots of... Again, it's that sort of sense of the taste of summer that comes through with something like this. That's to remind ourselves of the warmer days. Because berries are a big part of our summer produce, you know, we produce a lot of berries in Scandinavia, so we have a real attachment to them throughout the winter months, and absolutely, you could use any kind of fruity liqueur.
Great stuff, Signe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This really has, it's, I don't want to use the word Christmas, but it kind of makes you think that it won't be such a bad thing.
Basically.
We're nearly in December, I suppose we can go for it. Thank you very much indeed. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.